the neat thing as a leader is my job is to help orchestrate, but it's not necessarily to do. In times like this, your true successes actually come from empowering the folks that are working with you. Creativity of one is far less than creativity of 250.
Sean, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so excited for our conversation.
I'm so glad to be here, Kate. I really appreciate you guys inviting me on.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting conversation because we were just talking before I hit record all about the automotive space, which it's been an interesting world for lots of businesses, but particularly in the automotive world. Can you share with us a little bit about what you've seen this past few years?
We have four dealerships. We're a family-owned business. And I think the analogy I like to use is it's a roller coaster ride, which typical business is that way. It's always up and down. But ever since COVID, we really have not returned to pre-COVID automotive sales until now. We're finally getting back in. And what I mean is, first we went through COVID with all the shutdowns. Then you had inventory issues because of computer chips and this and that. And obviously, inventory issues create supply and demand issues. So dealerships really stopped selling. They just started providing. And then with that, you had the used car market and values that were going all over the place. And then we started dealing with transportation issues and trucking issues. And it's just one constant after another. And it's finally, we're knocking on wood, but we're hoping that, you know, we're kind of getting back to the norm where we're going to see the opportunity for our business to level out a little bit and just stick with the normal cyclical effects that have happened over the many years in the automotive realm.
It's interesting because I feel like oftentimes we'll say, oh, we want to get back to business as usual, but usual business is we're always in transition. Some transitions are a lot harder than others.
I agree with that. I think the big difference this time is we can't seem to get out of transition. It's almost like you feel, okay, I'm finally making some headway, one step forward, but then something else in our industry throws me two steps back, you know? And when you try to grow, you look back and you're like, okay, well, I can't really grow in new car sales because I don't have the inventory. And then all of a sudden interest rates, it's just like, typically you are correct. We're always zigging and zagging, but you can usually dial it in and say, if we overcome this. But the problem now is it just seems like our market and our industry has given us, I guess, punches from both sides. It's whoever we're fighting here is not a southpaw, but they're a left and a righty. So it's just been interesting.
So what does that look like from a leadership perspective? Obviously, as a leader, you have to be thinking about all of these things and the strategy and when you're going to be able to see that light at the end of the tunnel and also help move your people along with the vision and mission. So what has that looked like for you as a leader and what have you been really focused on?
As a leader, your head spins and you lose a lot of sleep, but you lose the sleep because we always talk, we have about 260 people that work for us, but really we touch about 650 people because of the wives and the kids and the connections to those 250 people that work for us. So you really start to look, and as a leader, you've got to dial it into a couple things. First is you always want to focus and get back to the basics because again, there's always, every game can be won. You just have to figure out how. And then more importantly, it's communication. It's helping to educate our associates, our work family members on understanding all the whys so that they can help us. The neat thing as a leader is my job is to help orchestrate, but it's not necessarily to do. In times like this, your true successes actually come from empowering the folks that are working with you. Creativity of one is far less than creativity of 250. Really, as a leader, the more that I can check my ego at the door and say, okay, let's have fun here. What can we do to get better? That's what these times really allow, in my opinion. But it's tough. It's tough to get out of that comfort zone of, I've been doing this for 21 years, and I know what we're going to do, and I know what my business card says, and gosh darn it, let's go. As opposed to, I really don't know what to do. What do you want to do? It's a completely different conversation point.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned ego, right? I feel like our egos can get in the way for sure, especially in that leadership role where oftentimes we look at leaders as, oh, you must have all the answer. You're in that role because you have all the answers. When really it's like, no, no, wait a second. I'm able to show that vulnerability in that. I mean, we know where we're going, how we're going to get there. Not quite sure, but collectively let's work together and being able to empower your team and give them the tools and resources necessary to do that. I know one of the things that you have worked on this year that has made an impact with your team to drive them in this direction is creating role descriptions and scorecards. So tell us a little bit about that journey. What prompted you to dig into this a little bit more, and how have your team members responded to it?
The biggest prompt came thanks to my coach from Floyd Consulting, but we don't need to make Tony's head too big here. But no, I think the biggest prompt came coming into 2023. Structurally, we had reorganized a little bit prior to 2023. We're a family owned and family operated automotive group with four stores, but we were kind of operating as four different stores. And I personally was overseeing a store. I had a brother-in-law who was overseeing one of the other stores. I had another brother-in-law who was overseeing two other stores. That's how we were operating and trying to control the whole reaction to the pandemic. So we really made the decision that we're not corporate, but we need to get a little bit different structure so that we can really focus on growing and not surviving. And when we started to create a different structure amongst the family members, it opened up because prior to that, I was the general manager. I was in charge of the Toyota store. And as long as I did things well and created net profit, my father-in-law, who's the dealer principal, was really happy. But when we went into this role of, okay, I've now got somebody else running the Toyota store, and I took a director of operations role, so I was really overseeing the four stores operationally, I needed a way to help people understand their purpose. And we had to better define our roles as family members, because everybody that works for us nicely respects the fact that we're family. So you kind of look at that as, I could pretty much walk into a store and someone's going to say, okay, I got to do what Sean says to do because he's family. And so we kind of started even just amongst ourselves as, what are our roles and how did we fit into the new picture? And then how do we translate that down? And so the role description part really helped. And I love the fact that we're mission driven. I still walk around. I'll walk around with the $20 bill in my hand. And if someone can recite our mission statement, I'll hand them the $20 bill. And you'd think I'd have a give away a bunch of $20 bills, but I still have people that sit there and say, can I read it? I'm like, no, I want you to memorize it.
Really? Is it long?
No, it's fairly simple, maybe about 10 lines. But I loved how Tony, at one point in the conversation he and I were having, really stressed, he said, look at them as role descriptions, not job descriptions. And how is that role a part of your mission? And that I'm sitting there going, wow, this is common sense that is not common, because we'd always had job descriptions. What's your job? As opposed to when you really dial it back in, and you know, our mission is simple, that we want to create a family-like environment for our customer and our associates. So how does your role fit into that? Are you the mom? Are you the dad? From a family perspective, there's certain roles that people play. So doing the role description was great. It was a huge add. As for the scorecard, that comes out of your Dream Manager program. One of the comments we use is doing a checkup from the neck up. How are people doing mentally? Because obviously, especially in automotive sales, in any kind of sales, it is a mentally tasking job to know that people are going to get told no more than they're going to get told yes. And you're being successful doing that. The idea of having a scorecard where we could say red, green, yellow, where are you at? What do I need to do to help you get there? Both personally and professionally. It ties so well together with our way of wanting to get stuff done.
First of all, that's a lot of family. That's a lot of family members. It's like business is already challenging with leaders and leadership and working together well as a team. And now you throw in the family dynamic and...
Well, I won't even tell you that we all live on the same property too. So we have a blast. Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Oh, wow. I know sometimes people, when we talk about changing or redefining roles. And it gets people a little bit like, oh, wait, what does that mean for me? Obviously, like some people don't really love it. But it's interesting because just shifting the name job description to role description, that alone, just like mentally, psychologically, like it's a shift in the way that people are thinking. They're like, oh, it's quote unquote their job. But no, it's the role that you play in the organization. And already it's almost like you're giving people this new vision in which to look at the work that they do. And that alone can be empowering. And then people in Matthew's book, The Culture Solution, he talks all about role descriptions and scorecards, and he talks all about leading with clear expectations. And only by having a role description and a scorecard can we then say to someone, hey, this is what's expected of you, and this is how you're being evaluated, so that they know when they're winning. They know when they are actually doing the work that they need to do. And then you as a leader get to come in and say, okay, these are all the things that are working really well. And then, hey, this is where you get to create that coaching culture where you say, hey, what do you need from me to help you with these areas? Because you're not performing in these areas. And so this gives you that platform to be able to have those meaningful conversations to help everyone on the team grow. You obviously are doing this with your team. You've implemented them. How has it shifted or impacted the way that your team works and how you are communicating with them?
You start seeing the increase in productivity, which hopefully will lead to that increase in profitability. I think it's twofold, because you start to find and define a little bit the people that have always looked at this as a career and the people that have always looked at it as a job. The ones that look at it as a career, they absorb it like there's no tomorrow. Teach me more, show me more. And I have a little bit of education in my background. And I always say that the biggest factor is it's nothing that is going to be measurable in a short period of time. It's the stuff that's going to be measurable in a longer period of time. Because as they start to gain more understanding, then they have the great questions of, wait, how do we create more? How do we save on expenses? Where is this going? Where is that going? They start to ask a lot more questions. And that, in essence, is the real power behind them understanding their role. Because one of the comments, and we didn't coin the term, but in the automotive business, you'll hear some sales trainers always talk about being a business within a business. So in essence, what we're trying to do is really create a whole group of entrepreneurs. Car salespeople are similar in many ways to kind of like a real estate agent. Their job is to be an agent. Their job is to be that person that helps Kate and her family get the vehicle that they need. I mean, a car is the second highest purchase that anyone will make in their life after their house. And so a lot of it is getting them to understand what it takes to run their business. Now, we as an automotive company, as a dealership, we provide so many resources to them. So we're not charging them average. They don't have to go advertise themselves. They don't have to buy their own inventory. But the more that they understand how all that fits into an equation, and like we said, more gets what their role is into making that. The goal isn't to make our family rich or more money. The goal is to make our associates' families develop and grow. One of the books that we share is Building Better Families. And we share that with our associates so they understand, even in a perfect world, if we've done everything right, our goal is to make 5 cents on every dollar. The rest of it, we want out either in their pockets or in the community's pockets. And so that's where a lot of that does come into play and really helps us to try to grow a little bit. And the role, using the term role, is so much better. There's a movie that's about to come out called Boys in the Boat. And it's an amazing story. It's a true story of teamwork. And really, in essence, it doesn't matter where you work. Kate, you've got your team. Matthew Kelly has his different teams. And the success always is the sum of that team. So,
yes. Oh my gosh. It's so funny, right? When you were saying that, I was thinking like people taking extreme ownership. And in that book, Extreme Ownership, that Jocko Willink wrote, he's a former Navy SEAL, and he shares in the book, he says, there's no such thing as a bad team, only a bad leader. And so it's almost like the leader's job is to make sure the people on the team know their role. If you know your role, if they know their role and they hire the right person for that role. We have to remember that. It always starts with that, getting the right person in that role, and then do exactly what you just said, which is do your role. If you do your role, like we've identified what it needs to be in order for us to achieve this success, and then you do the role, you focus on that. What a beautiful thing. You play your part, and then everybody gets to work together and collectively use their own unique skills and abilities to achieve whatever it is that you all want to achieve as an organization. And so it's important to remember that. That's why those role descriptions are so powerful, because you're literally giving someone, hey, this is what we need to do. And I love that you shared that your team, they get more strategic. They think about business differently. They start asking better questions. And now you're having different conversations. And from there, guess what? You can change the role if it needs to be changed. You can change the scorecard if there's different things that would help support you at a different phase in your business. And as you go through transition, it's so wonderful to be able to look back at those role descriptions and scorecards even every year and just say, hey, is this still the role? Are we at a different place in business? What skills have you gained over the past year that now will enable you to perform at a different level and maybe a different part of the organization? How can you maybe improve? Or obviously for a lot of people, they want to see growth in the organization. Maybe some of them have a dream to get a promotion or be in a different role or whatever that looks like. And so those conversations can be had with a lot less emotion and more, hey, these are the facts. This is what I've done. This is where we are. This is where we're going. This is how I think I can contribute best to the team. So beautiful. I love it. I love that those are the kinds of conversations coming up with you and your team. You have a lot of people on the team and a lot of people leading different parts of the team. So talk to us a little bit about how do you think about culture, the importance of it, and obviously just how are you intentionally building a great culture?
Culture is key. It all starts there. And usually in my different experiences, when I have found there to be any kind of concern or hesitation, I usually am able to find that it's the culture there that needs to be worked on first. Because culture to me is the difference between a bunch of people having a job and a bunch of people having a role within a family business. Because if you don't love what you're doing, then you're not going to be successful at what you do. And that all comes down to culture. It comes down to our associates understanding that our desire isn't just to say we want to make them a true family member or we want them to be successful. We have to show it to them. We have to make that a part of our everyday action. And that's what culture brings to the table. You brought up Culture Solution, and I was blessed to be able to read that book when Matthew first released it. But, you know, it's prior to that book, you always went back to the Disney culture, or you went back to the Ritz-Carlton approach. But really, when you look at all of that, all it is being welcoming. It's being open in your organizations to understand and be a part of the people's lives that touch your organization. So you will be successful, but you'll be immensely successful once you have a strong culture in place. And so with our four stores, that's been the biggest challenge this year, is really trying to emulate and create, because making sure that everybody understands. And all it is it's going through and giving a high five, finding people doing things right instead of correcting people for doing things wrong. It's that simple to sit there and say, yeah, okay, so we messed up something over here, but you know something? I'm not going to waste any energy on you. I love how we did this. And let's do more of this. And just let's just not do that anymore. And that just takes time, because it's literally nothing more than, like I said, walking around, high fives, letting people know you love them and appreciate them.
Yeah, it's like the essence. It's like the essence of your organization, how people feel when they come into work. What do you look for? What are the qualities that you look for when you are hiring team members?
People who want to learn, people who are open-minded. We try to position ourselves to not be the stereotypical automotive family, automotive dealership. And there's other organizations like us out there. So we're looking for folks that want to be a part of something that is going to do nothing but get better and better. And we're looking for team players. We want to find 8 really good players instead of having 1 prima donna, and that are very, very focused on taking care of others. Because it doesn't matter if you're a salesperson or a technician, our industry really is more of a service industry than sales. And I think a lot of people forget that. We're here providing a service for customers. And I don't mean that literally in the sense that we service cars, but we're here providing transportation, providing something to fill their needs or their wants. And we have to take that approach. I mean, the sales things happen. That's just a part of what we do. So we're looking for people who are very people-oriented, very outgoing. Truthfully, we can teach you everything you need to know about the car business. We just want people that want to be successful and want to have fun and that aren't afraid to, I hate saying this because it's tough nowadays, but they're not afraid to work. They want to come to work because trust me, we'll give you plenty of time off and we'll give you all sorts of things to go celebrate. But when you're here, we want you here to work.
I think people do want to work, even in this environment where a lot of people say, oh, I can't find anyone who actually wants to work. I think that there are lots of people that gain a lot of value. They see the value in work. They want to use their skills. They might just not be in the right role, but work is good. We are made to work to be able to use the gifts and abilities that we have. And so this is why it's so important for people to hire the right people for your team. For both sides, like it needs to work for the person that you're hiring and for the organization. And this is why hiring is like one of the biggest challenges for leaders, right? Because it takes time to find those people, to really find the right fit. And it's easier to just hire someone to hire them than it is to really wait for the perfect person to bring into the organization. But it's those people who hire with rigorous discipline, they win.
That's why we always, it's funny because we always have two ads running. We always have an ad running for sales professionals and for technicians. And not too long ago, I was in a meeting and one of the leaders said, hey, we're full staffed. Should we have Kelly, who's our HR director, should we have Kelly take the ad down? I said, no. I said, you're going to find your best person when you're not looking. And I said, if you wait until you are short staffed and you need somebody, then you end up settling. But there is always room. On our team, there is always going to be room for a strong technician and an effective sales professional because both of them, all they do is provide more. They're icing on our cake. I might not be quick to add somebody to our accounting team until we mathematically need it. But when it comes to, especially on the commission-based side of things, you never pass up an opportunity. And so you should always, you're right. I mean, you're going to find the best people when you're not looking.
Always be recruiting. Always be recruiting. Sean, what is one lesson that you've learned over the past year that you will use over the next 12 months?
Listen more. I've spent a lot of time. And again, I think it goes back to that whole, there's a part of you as a leader, just as there is for me as a dad, that sometimes I feel I need to solve the problems. And I have really tried to focus on listening more, allowing others not just to talk. I can hear what they say, but when I listen, I'm actually reflecting on what they're saying. And I think our team here has the answers to almost every question that we're trying to figure out right now. We just have to take the time to listen.
Beautiful. What a great answer. And I think it's in the Culture Solution where Matthew shares that people only listen with 25% efficiency. They're not hearing 75% of what people are saying. And that's everything. It's what they're saying and it's what they're not saying. That when you become a great listener, you start to recognize, wait a second, what are some of those things that they aren't saying that I need to ask a question to get something out of? Let's talk a little bit about coaching because obviously you have a coach in Tony, and how has that experience helped you develop your leadership skills?
Simply put, it has been a wonderful outlet for helping me work through and develop everything from trying to get to listen more. Have you taken time to define more? It's really just, this is going to come up. It's no disrespect to Tony. He hasn't taught me anything, but he has brought a lot to the surface that, again, I want to sit there and go, I kind of knew that, but yeah, I'm not doing that. And then the best part is 3-4 weeks later, hey, did you do what you said you were going to do? Yeah, well, you know, so it's just helped. He and I actually had a coaching session yesterday. And one of the things I said to him was, I said, just in the last month, I've spent a lot more time on a daily basis doing a work-related examination of conscience, because to be able to take that step and say, okay, what did I do today? What did I do that was really good? What did I do that was okay? Where did I miss the ball? So that I can be more reflective. So it's really just, it's the accountability partner, which I knew going into it, that's what I was looking for. And then the resource of just some of the added ideas of, hey, did you try this or did you do this? And it starts as a coach and becomes a friendship. And I think that's where I really truly appreciated it is just having that source outside of the family that helps to approach everything work-related. So,
yeah, that third-party perspective is definitely obviously seeing it from a very different viewpoint because we're so in it, right? Like when we're leading a team, we're in it. You're in the thick of it. You can't always see that the outside looking in. And that's why we're so good at giving advice, right? Like we love giving advice to other people. We could do that all day long. We're like, that's really good advice. We're not great at taking our own advice.
Correct.
And so this is why everyone needs a coach, to be able to have someone that sees it differently and then asks you those questions. So that's the thing about a coach that I find so fascinating is they might not be there to teach you anything new. They're just there to ask you a question that knocks you off your chair. And you think, how did I not see it that way? Or why did I not consider that? Or what a simple question that I actually have to take some time now to maybe journal about or think about or talk through with my team. And you just never would have come up with that otherwise because you're just stuck in your own head. And so that's really a benefit. But the accountability piece, that gets you. You got to do the things you say you're going to do, Sean.
You do. You've got to do it and you've got to stick to it. I mean, that's always been the key. Actions are louder than words.
Absolutely. What's interesting too is, so obviously you have a coach and you believe in helping your team members grow. Your wife, keeping it all in the family, your wife is actually the dream manager over there. So talk a little bit about the dream manager program and how are people enjoying that?
Our associates love it. Yeah, my wife, a couple of years ago, I had been searching and looking for something to bring to the team that would help them grow. And all too often, you talk about roles, you talk about leaders, and you take a sales manager with a salesperson, and they're going to sit and just simply talk about, well, how many customers have you seen? How many test drives you do? Did you do this? Did you do that? It's all work-related. One of the ideas, when I came across the Dream Program, my wife is a teacher by trade. But the neat thing is she was able to provide a whole different side. And it goes back to that really developing a family relationship. She would never once talk to them about selling another car or servicing another car. She was there to talk to them about, okay, what do you need to do? We have some younger salespeople and my goal is to buy a house. My goal is to buy my first car. My goal is to pay off some debt. I shouldn't say goals, I have dreams. And we would have them. And really, that was the benefit. I mean, we had multiple associates that it gets back to that accountability piece, but they say, you know, we wanted to do it, but we never knew how to do it. And my wife always jokes, she said, I'm not a financial planner. I'm not a this, I'm not a that. I'm just a constant resource for them and an accountability partner so that if we needed them to get in touch with a financial planner, we had somebody on our team ready to go. And that's really, again, it creates, when you take ownership, when we take ownership of our people in a different way, they take ownership of their career in a different way. And we actually lost, so here's an interesting story that I consider a positive. We lost a really good associate because her goal was to have her own business. And we helped create the stepping stones that she could put in place so that something she was doing part-time as a hobby could become her everyday thing. And I don't know if there's a whole lot of companies out there that want to take a good associate and encourage them to go do their own thing. But my father-in-law never would have started our automotive family if he hadn't taken a chance and gone and done his own thing.
I love the fact that you mentioned that one dreamer because we actually get that question from some leaders. They will say, why would a leader want to help someone fulfill their personal dreams? What if one of their dreams is to leave? So what would you say to that leader that's thinking in that capacity?
Think ultimately of what your goal is as a leader, and that's to develop the true potential of everybody that works for you. And when you do that, over the years, we've had a lot of folks that have left our organization for the betterment of their careers or their families, but it's amazing how loyal they have always stayed to our organization. They've sent some of the best referrals. They've sent some of the best customers. So again, it's you check the ego, you get rid of the selfishness. Ultimately, my goal is to get everyone that I touch to heaven. So I want them to become the best version of themselves. If someone had asked me 25 years ago, I've been in the car business now for 22 years. If someone had said 25 years ago that I was going to be in the car business, I would have laughed at them. I was blessed to come into this world through meeting a wonderful woman who became my wife. And so you never know what God's journey is for you, and nor do we know what it is for someone else. So our job is just to help them become the best version of who they are. And that's the beauty of the Dream Program, is it helps the associate identify really who they are, and it gives them a voice. If a leader is honestly contemplating the Dream Manager Program, you're already of the mindset that your goal is to want the best for your people. And we all know that if we let a good one go, we're going to be given another good one right behind. Give and you'll receive. But if you hold on too tight, you're going to miss something else. So sorry, I just got up on my soapbox. Sorry about
that. No, that was so awesome. That was so beautiful. Look, think about she left and think about how she talks about you as a leader. Think about how she talks about the organization and her dream manager. That is someone who's going to be talking about you as an employer forever. That's incredible. We all have those people in our lives where we think, wow, they believed in me so much and I would not be here without those people. And that is what it's about. And you said the exact thing. If your number one goal as a leader is to help your people grow, that is what you are there to do. So it goes back to your do your role. Do your role. Oh my gosh, Sean, you are so awesome. And I absolutely love hearing about what you are doing with your team. Obviously, it's a blessing for everyone to be able to be a part of that team, to grow together. Even during these crazy, challenging times, you are all building something remarkable. And then you get to look back over a 5-year period, 10 years, whatever that looks like, and think, wow, remember in COVID, remember when we didn't know what we were doing, and you're going to be in a completely different space. And that's part of the fun of business, is to be able to grow a team together and then look back and think, look what we did together.
Yep.
So you're awesome, Sean. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show. I know that you have inspired leaders for sure, because you have inspired me. So thank you for sharing your journey with us.
Thanks, Kate, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you found it helpful. I hope you got something to use and take away. And if you are interested in culture coaching, we would love to have a conversation with you. And you can go to floydcoaching.com and someone from our team will reach out to you. Thank you again so much for listening. We appreciate you. And until next time, lead with culture.